Hallelujah. I used to wonder why the Africans made us praise so much, and they just kept on and on and on. Well, they were just waiting for him to get here. Because they're ministering in the supernatural. They're not just talking like we sometimes do. You know, if all else fails, you can always preach. Just kidding, just kidding. It's very, very important to worship Jesus. Listen, and I forgot to acknowledge those that were visiting with us today, except for our missionary visiting, but we have our pastor friends from down in Dayton, Tennessee, and we're really very glad to have the Goins with us today. He's wearing a big orange shirt for some reason. You are welcome today. Next Sunday begins the rest of the year. Finally, we'll have it all behind us. But you know what? Some wonderful, wonderful things have happened this summer. You might remember a few years ago, I spoke to you and I said that the Lord revealed to me as I was traveling back from a ministry trip out of the book of Acts, where it says, the word of God grew mightily and prevailed. And then it told about all the miracles that happened and how the church was established. And this happened because the word of God, everybody say the word of God, grew mightily and prevailed. Yes. It's real good to get to the place in life where you know you don't prevail. Right. Your great ideas don't prevail. The way you plan things doesn't prevail. But the Word of God has the power to prevail. And so as a result of that, the Lord spoke to me about having on Wednesday evening lessons, especially while we're having our other classes for our children and youth, that we have a Bible study in the sanctuary, and we've studied a lot of different things, and right now we're studying the Song of Solomon, taking the book all the way through. It is so tremendous what it is doing in our lives. You know, God established His church through the power of the Word of God. And the more the Word of God grew, the ministry of it, and the magnification of it, the more it prevailed. And the more the Word of God prevailed, the more the church was empowered to be the church. And the more the church had victory over the enemy. The Word of God. John 17, when he was praying to the Father, said, Jesus, verse 14, I have given them thy word. Imagine, speaking of us, I have given them thy word. And the world has hated them. If we ever get this straight, the world is not going to understand that you believe the Word of God. It cannot appreciate the power that is there for you and the rescue and the wonder that it's in. It just hates us because of the Word, especially because we say it's God's Word, and the awful thing is people ought to do it. What a terrible thought the world has, that we believe in a God that would bring a word that thinks people ought to do what He says. Because the world in the world is so high-minded and so already set in its own way, still worshiping at the shrine of the intellect. I know what to do. But the world hated them because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now the word is a sanctifier. The word he gave them set them apart from the world. He gave the word, and he also said the world would hate them and hate him because of the word. It's the word that separates us from the world. The word makes this exceptional and powerful. Our testimony to the world is that it is the truth, the truth. His intention was that the Word would be our foundation for everything. Everything we do, that's why he said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I liken to a wise man who built his house on the rock. It's the picture of the stability and assurance that we have if everything we do is founded on the Word of God. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. It's very possible to hear the Word and not do it. Is this shocking to you? Did you ever do that? Thousands or millions of people hear the Word every week, but only a percentage of those actually commit themselves to being doers of the Word. Remember, Jesus said, listen to this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that is to say, if you let his Word be a living Word in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. Pause to think about people say, I don't get my prayers answered. I don't see God doing miracles. But you see, the Word abiding in us is the first condition for answered prayer and for seeing miracles in church. God wants to do miracles in their midst, but it can only be done through the empowerment of the Word living and abiding in us. It's not a punishment. It's a blessing that comes from God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Commandments are simply means words or instructions. He said, this is how you know you are my disciples, if you keep my commandments. Many people are church members that aren't disciples. Many people call themselves Christians that aren't disciples. A disciple is a follower. It's one that follows the Word of God, giving his life to Jesus' Lordship. And it means keeping the Word. So, we have the Word hidden in our hearts, and we let it be both the power and the guide for our lives. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you know what this says? It says, you don't know the difference between spirit and soul sometimes. But the Word of God will discern. Even the hard things where you have to have a sword to cut between it, that the Word of God's able to cut away all that nonsense and show you what the truth is. And furthermore, the Word of God can discern the thoughts and intents of your heart. You know, David said that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, he certainly found that out in his own life. It's amazing, isn't it, how we think we're such nice people until we encounter that thing that pulls something else out of us. My pastor, Judson Cornwall, used to answer me sometimes like this, well, dear, if I know my heart, such and such. And in the beginning, I would think, why does he keep saying that? Because he didn't know if he knew his heart. We don't know our hearts. That's why we need the Word. We can be easily deceived if we don't know our hearts. So powerful that knowing and praying the Word of God, it can change our situations. You can bring healing to the sick, as we prayed this morning. You can bring deliverance to the bound and to the oppressed through the Word of God. The proclamation and declaration of the Word changes the very atmosphere and gives us victory. We were praying something in a recent prayer meeting. I think it was Friday night. And we started just praying for someone to be met in such a way. But then someone brought forth the Word that he wants to do things abundantly. And so we started praying for the Lord to do that abundantly. And that empowered our prayers, and it gave those people a lot more at the other end of our prayers, because we're praying the Word of God stimulated by faith, not just asking God, Lord, bless this person. Lord, bless that person. Duncan Williams used to say, don't pray for God to bless me. Tell him what to do. Get out of the Word what I need to have done and stand on it and tell God what to do. Anybody can say, bless so-and-so. Like the little boy who prayed. This is true. Little 3-year-old boy used to pray for me often here at the church. And he prayed for me one Sunday morning, "Lord, bless Pastor and help her to learn to dress herself." He prayed what his mom had been praying for him. The jury's still out on whether I've learned to dress myself. You lose the power of God in your life when you speak and do the Word of God. If we get rid of the thought that the Word is something I have to be afraid of, there's warnings in there, there's prophecies of doom and gloom in there, well, hello, how many promises are there in there? How much healing is in there? How much hope is in there? The enemy wants to tell you that the Word of God is a threat. The Word of God is your very life. You know, there are many pictures of the Word, like water and milk. But one that shows the working power of the Word, how does the Word of God work, is when it is referred to as the seed. You know, the seed of the Word, the seed is a container packed full of life. It's just in the natural. And power to grow. The seed of the Word contains in it the promise and potential to produce something in our lives. It will produce the will of God, the Word. So the scripture talks about a man who sows his seed. And some falls on good soil. There's different kinds of soils. And depending on the kind of soil, how that is going to produce. You know, we've really got to let our soil be good soil. We can't let the Word fall on hard, rocky soil. You can't say, "Well, I'm going to go hear the Word today, but I've just got a lot of problems. I've got my mind on other things." Or maybe we don't like it because God didn't meet us in some other prayer that we'd prayed at some point, so we're not really listening to the Word of God. Maybe we don't like the way the preacher's preaching it or whatever. We were watching T.D. Jakes the other night. And I said, "He's one of the most amazing people I've ever seen. I never see him look at a note. And he just carries on about anything. He gets to the depths of the emotions. He has the people standing on the pews. And whatever it is he asks, they're amening him. Yeah, this is great. This is right." He has a tremendous anointing to get people to hear, listen to the Word of God. The Word of God. You know, about the time that the Lord called me into ministry, there was a real famine for hearing the Word of God. There was a famine of the Word of God being preached. And I remember going up in Virginia, this was before Shekinah, and there were some people there that were so hungry for the Word. It was a college professor's wife there, and she said, "I don't know exactly what I heard when you came to preach. I just know it's the most Word I've ever heard." Let me tell you what the enemy does from time to time. From time to time, he gets the Word to get under a burden of lies and confusion. And he gets people ministering watered down things. And he has other ways that he can keep people from listening to the Word. For example, David Wilkerson said, "We can survive persecution, but we will be able to survive the blessings we have." Because our blessings so often keep us away from the house of God, where we can hear the Word of God, which is our very life. And it's as if it's sort of an optional thing. It is not optional. The Word of God and hearing the Word of God is not optional. And so at that time, the Lord called a lot of teachers. He just called a lot of ministers that I know the very same year that he called me to preach the Word of God. I think that from time to time, you know, the scripture talks in the book of Revelation about every now and then hell coughs up a bunch more curses. Well, every now and then the Lord sends out a bunch more preachers. And people start hearing the Word of God in a different way. You know, we had heard We had heard preaching for a number of years, but it wasn't alive. It wasn't anointed. There wasn't the depth there. It didn't meet the need of our soul. It was mostly about social issues, which, you know, there'll always be social issues. We've got to preach Jesus somewhere along the way if we get any help. And so the enemy is trying to keep people from receiving the seed. The seed of the word contains in it the promise and potential to produce something in our lives. It will produce the will of God. According to Luke 1:37, no word of God is void of power. And whatever is in the seed can reproduce itself in your life. If you get that word in you, that living word, it has the power to produce life and growth and power in you. I'm talking the seed of the word has this power. You know, our kids believe that if they go to college, they'll get an education, they'll get a degree, they can make some money. But somehow it's just so hard to get people to believe if you ingest the word and you have it in you and you keep getting it in you, you're going to keep growing. You're going to become powerful. You know, you've got to do this to get that, is what I'm saying. It would be nice, wouldn't it, if we could do college like some people do about the word of God. You know, sometimes I just don't feel led to study my books. Some courses I didn't feel led to take. Some things I didn't agree with. But I want a diploma anyway. It won't happen. It won't happen. The seed is powerless unless it's planted. Think of this. Then we can be confident that in the right circumstances and surrounding, that seed is going to produce. That seed is going to produce. Do you know Dr. Pickett's now famous vision that she had of the power plant? And she says that there's going to come a release one day when God says that word. And she said that no demon or denomination and several D words, nothing will be able to keep back God from doing what he wants to do. And it's going to flood the churches. This great power is going to come through all the power lines, excuse me, is going to come into all of the churches. And I said, but what does it have to get full of? She said, it has to get full first. She said, it has to get full of the Word. And then when it gets full enough of the Word, then the power, then God is going to declare the power can be released. Because we cannot do these things without being full of the power of the Word. I think sometime, like the woman told me, you know, I don't need to come to church. My father was a minister. I've heard all those things. The seed is powerless when it's planted. Faith will look expectantly to see the seed produce. Scripture says the seed produces after its own kind. You need to expect to see the seed of the word start producing in your life. Producing all the life that you need to do what God wants you to do. When you plant the seed of the word, you release it with your mouth. And so many people have not developed the practice of speaking the word of God. Instead, they speak their problems. They speak their questions. They speak their complaints. Those things will never make you full of the power of God. I remember calling Augustine once. I knew what kind of problems he was having. It was really bad. And I said, well, how are you doing, Augustine? And he laughed and he said, God is good and God is faithful. You're not ever going to find out how those people are. They're just going to quote scripture because that's their ticket to getting out of whatever it is that they are in. He asked me to come and preach for him one time, but before I could get there, somebody practicing witchcraft so tore up the church, he called and said, don't come right now. You know, those kind of problems. And then his answer would be, God is good, praise God. So if you find the word that God's word has promised for your problem, then you have the power to solve the problem. Through speaking the word, which includes the promise of God. I mean, for example, if people are sick of certain things, they need to research the word, for example, and see what is it that heals the bones. The Bible says a broken spirit dries the bones, for example. So you want to see about getting your broken spirit healed if you got bone problem. That makes sense, doesn't it? We used to sing that in the charismatic days. But people today would think those were little ditties. Maybe they were, but we did at least learn the word. I learned so much word by singing those little songs. The work that causes Christ to be formed in you is released through the process of the seed. 1 Peter 1:23 says that we are born again by the incorruptible seed, by the word of God. Incorruptible. It's a living seed. It gets inside of you. It is a living seed. It has the power to save us. The book of James has a scripture that explains how the word itself saves. James 1, beginning at verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now, you know, I want to comment on this verse. It's wonderful. And then I want to read a couple more verses to give you the context. This is a wonderful verse. It says, if you want your soul saved, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Meekness is like humility. It's the opposite of pride and high-mindedness. Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't care what anybody says. And we actually show that we are not meek and we are not teachable if we don't present ourselves to learn the Word of God. And it says that we're to receive the engrafted Word. That's like you take a stem and you cut it and you graft something else in. That's how deeply the Word of God is put into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Receive that. It's an engrafted Word inside of you. But receive it with meekness. That is to say, it doesn't matter if it grates against you or if it's not what you thought or it's not what you've been taught. Be meek about the Word of God and receive it. He said, this is how you can get your souls saved. But verse 22 says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So it is easy enough to hear the word and not do it. But when we hear the word preached and we set ourselves to do that word, then we are a person who has learned and we have received with meekness the engrafted word. And he says, if we don't do that, it's like somebody who looks in a mirror, but when he's not looking in the mirror, he turns away and can't remember who he was, can't remember who he saw there. If you don't intend to do the word of God, then you're like a man who looks in the mirror and forgets what he saw. We can't forget the word of God. It has the power to save our souls. Meek means acknowledging that the word is greater than we are, and that we cannot produce this change without it. There's been a great turning away from God's word in our nation. I don't have to tell you this, do I? Maybe I do. A great turning away from God's word in our nations. This is why the word of God is not read in our classrooms today. I remember being in school, and our principal would read the scripture every day over the PA system. We started every day with the scripture being read. Now that could be one reason why When I finally got saved at the age of 27, caught on, that I had so much word in me, I couldn't get away from it. But children of today will not have that advantage. Matter of fact, they're going to have to struggle through an awful lot of nonsense to get to the truth. Still in other countries today, in the Caribbean places I go and minister, they still do this. It's this nation that is particularly secularistic, humanistic, and turns its back against God. That's why church is so important. Parents, that's why it's so important to get your kids regularly in the youth and children's meetings, because they are taught the Word of God faithfully, systematically. They're also taught how to pray and about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All these things that we must have that they're never going to get any touch of in school. Never. It's a mindset in our classrooms today. The mindset is, I can do everything myself. I do not need to hear the Word. I do not need to pray. Oh, but if something awful and terrible happens, we can have a moment of silence. I would like to understand what a moment of silence does. Just let your mind be to where you can think of more trouble. This has been communicated to the younger population today, and there's not the respect that there would have been 200 years ago or even 50 years ago. Every now and then, John and I watch one of the Turner Classic movies. We like some of those from the 30s and 40s and even the 50s if you're careful. You'll see the tremendous difference in our culture. It's really fun. I say, look at these people, John. They've just come to have lunch together and they're wearing hats and they've got their gloves with them. They've got on suit. The woman working in the office has on a suit. The jacket is buttoned. Sometimes there's not much to button in the things people wear to work or anywhere else. Wow. It's amazing the things that cross your mind when you're preaching that you never say. Very often in these older movies, we saw a movie a while back about Norman Vincent Peale. And it just had him preaching on there, and it had, you know, about their convictions about dancing and all different kinds of things like this. It was, you know, John and I just looked at each other. Was there ever a day like this? Our country now is not going to help us to God, ever. It's going to be the church of the living God. Ministering the Word of God is the only hope our nation has, because our nation, the leaders of the nation, the political part of the nation, does not want us to follow this God. Very often, you know, in these movies, they'll just mention a scripture. And we saw one that ended with a scripture, and I thought, well, look at that. Can you imagine a movie today ending with the scripture? I mean, unless it was a Jesus film or something like that. It was, you know what the idea was? It was like people thought like that. Now all we think is one more video game. And whatever the world, whatever the culture has taught us, unless the Word of God sanctifies us and washes us. Thank God for the Word. And in those older movies, we didn't see explicit violence or sexuality or profanity. I mean, not at all. You didn't even have to arm yourself. Now, if anything like that starts to want to come on our TV, that's it. John will say, that's it. You had your chance. We will not listen one minute. We don't say those words, and we're not going to let those words into our house. But the fact is, the Bible is God's Word, and He has not given us another Word. And if people don't like this Word, you can't trade it in. His Word will stand forever. We've got to let the world see the tremendous power of the Word as it works out its salvation, healing, and deliverance in our lives. With that in mind, I just want to take a minute or two here and talk to you about loving the Word of God. The psalmist said, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation, day and night." Meditation means you're thinking, you're turning it over and over. It's in your heart, it's in your mind, it's in your thoughts. You might even talk to somebody about it. I think in America we're so, I don't know what we are. We're so get-or-done oriented. Oh, we're just so about, I've got this to do, I've got that, I've got that to do. But what about the Word of God? I mean, do we let it really be a part of our mind and heart and meditate on it day and night? You know, the way to learn to love the Word is to spend time in the Word each day. It's also good to memorize the Word. Now, when I was in Bible school, I was required to memorize tons of scriptures, especially on how to get people saved. And those things are so inside of me, I'm really glad for it now. That it just comes out at the time when I need it. The psalmist says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." If we don't get the Word inside of us, we may not even recognize sin because the discerner is not there. The only way to get the Word into your heart is to read it daily. Number one, read the Word. And number two, regularly sit under anointed teaching. I don't believe in continuing in a church where the preaching is dead. I don't counsel people. Well, just be there and be a light and do the best you can. Some people are not strong enough to go to church and never hear the real anointed Word of God. That's like being on a mission field. But we need the Word of God. And it's not just to, not just our reading it, but hear it. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Sometimes it's so good to read it yourself so you can hear it. But when you hear the Word under the anointing, you're empowered by the Word. You can remember the Word. And faith comes by that. The enemy doesn't want you to have any faith. That's why he wants to keep you from hearing the Word of God. The reason that God gave teachers as a gift to the body is that we need teachers in order to receive true revelation and understanding and application of His Word. I mean, sometimes I've had people put their own interpretation on scriptures. And I think that is amazing that you could have come up. And so sometimes, you know, just to be kind, I said, "Well, that's amazing." And then I will say, "Have you ever considered," and then I'll share with them, you know, what that word means. If you didn't need teachers, God wouldn't have given them as a gift to the body of Christ. Some churches don't believe in prophets, though if there ever was a denomination started, it was an apostle who started it, whether they believe in it or not. You have to have special gifts to start churches and multiply them and things of that nature. We need these gifts that God has given. And parents, it's so important that you get the Word into our children. Line upon line, precept upon precept. They will be taught the stories of the Bible, how to live for Jesus. And even the little children, they can get so much of that Word in them that nobody can ever take it away from them. Sometimes I've heard people say, "When you talk to somebody these days and they don't even believe the Bible is the Word of God," that's okay. Talk to them anyway. The Bible can take care of itself. The Word of God is powerful. And so I've had some people say, "Well, where do you get that? How do you know that?" And I said, "One way I know is it works for me." And I share with them all that God has done for me, the miracles that have happened, you know, the work we've been able to do. And I said, we got that out of the Word of God because the Word of God is true. And so sometimes people want to think, well, this is a new day we're living in. People aren't going to believe the Word in this day. Well, they have to. Because we win in the end. I've already read the Bible. It says we do. And you don't win without getting the Word in you so you can be saved. They will believe the Word of God. Now, what we don't want to do is minister it with condemnation or minister it in such a way that people can't receive it. We want to be considered of those things. But God's not going to change His Word. And I want to tell you this. Adultery is always going to be adultery. And just because you see it all the time on TV and in the movies today has not changed God's Word. All of the things in the Word of God that are sins. And the reason it is that way is because you will destroy yourself if you live in those things. God wants to deliver people. You know, my understanding is that people sometimes divorce a mate thinking the next time and the next would be better and whatever. Or take this for example. People think that I don't know if I want to be married to this person or not, so I'll live with them a while and try them out and see what I think. Statistics show that more divorces happen when you try them out first. Isn't that amazing? It just shows we're blind about these things. You may as well just obey God and give Him a chance to give you a better life. I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't do it unkindly. But I wouldn't mind with any of the sins that are so embraced and loved these days in our nation. I wouldn't mind telling anybody on earth, including the president, I don't believe in that. Because I'm committed to the Word of God. And I believe in what the Word of God teaches. There's nothing to recoil from. I would be ashamed if I were caught into that mindset. And we are the light of the world. We have to share with them the truth. God has given us outstanding and anointed teachers right here in this house. We let two of them take a little vacation today, Andre and Carrie. We're so thankful for, I'm really thankful for the teaching gift that Jane has. I just love to come on Wednesday night. You know, they say that what happens to preachers is, you know, they need to be fed themselves. I can come and hear our preachers and be fed. I thank God for that. I want you to always appreciate how God has given us such richness in the Word. Don't miss the opportunity to have the Word and to receive it, because those who minister it have paid a tremendous price. The word made flesh is the New Testament way of ministering the truth. And before you can ever minister the truth, you've got to live it yourself and know what it is that God has taught you about it. And so, with this I'll finish. There are wonderful experiences still to be had by some of you. Amen. Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." Isn't that crazy? "And they became to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." If you give yourself to really embracing and loving and receiving the Word of God, you can enter into a realm of joy that you have not experienced before. I mean, on a regular basis. John is telling me what he's gotten out of the Word right now. He's reading after Charles Price. What Charles Price has shown him about faith. He's sharing these things. He's excited about it. He's joyful about it. Wouldn't you rather have a conversation like that, husbands and wives, than always talking about how we're going to get the kids out of this jam and who has to take the garbage out now? And it gives you such joy when you can fellowship around the Word of God. The Scripture speaks of the milk of the Word and the meat of the Word. That's why Jeremiah says he found his Word needed. Job, even in the state he was in, said in verse 12 of chapter 23, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips." I mean, after all he went through. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's what you can say when you fast and spend time in the Word of God, that time that you would have spent eating lunch and whatever. Yeah, you don't have to go to the grocery store. Spend any of that time. If we can understand the Scripture, really uses terms like eating the Word, because the intention is the Word of God gets down inside of you. I just feel like if you can sit under an anointed Word of God, you are truly blessed. We, at our house, we have about 5 people that preach on TV that we like, that we feel preach a good, solid word and feed us. And so we DVR those. And then when we have time, we watch them. And it's really encouraging to hear what God is saying through other people. On my iPhone, I have podcasts of the preachers that I want to listen to. One of them is John Kilpatrick. John and I have been listening to this week about all that he says God has shown him that's going to happen in the Middle East, how it's all going to end up, what's going to happen in Iran. Pretty interesting. It's a whole lot more interesting than a lot of things we could be talking and thinking about. and I keep up with Bill Johnson on the Bethel podcast. Because these people are really good teachers. And I'm just giving you some examples. Live your life in the Word. But the Word is not for argument. The Word is not to play little games with. The Word is your life. And it is that seed that's planted inside of you that grows and brings forth. Everything that is in that seed then can come out and be produced in your life. And let me just say this, I hope humbly. I don't know how else you can say it. But our messages are online. And when you miss a message, you can hear it online. I can say that because other people preach here than myself. But I really don't know why you wouldn't want to catch up with the sermon that you missed. I do. You know, when I'm not here, if I'm out traveling somewhere, before I come back home, usually I've already listened to the message somebody preached while I wasn't here, because that's part of the fellowship with me. So this might not have occurred to some of you to listen to a message you missed. So I'm just telling you now, you don't have to go without keeping up with the Word all the time, because every word that's preached, somebody paid a real price to get it and spent time in the Word and maybe made some other sacrifices so that you could have life. So if you're not here in person, then listen to it online. And we're thankful that we have gotten it to where it's just very easy to just push a button and listen to that message. And I'm just thinking today that it would be good for us to just stand together and recommit ourselves, shall we, to being disciples of the Word of God. The Word of God. I knew a pastor that went to China, I think it was, and they asked him to teach God's Word, and he took a full week and taught all the way through the New Testament. And they asked him, would he take another half week and teach the Old Testament? But here's what his premise was. If he can teach these people this word, and they can teach it to other people, they'll be able to survive the persecution that they're going through in that country. And all he did was teach the word. And we take it for granted. After Ann Fletcher died, one of her relatives brought me a very small little Bible. In the front, it said, I promise to give myself in obedience to the word of this book and to study it faithfully. And it had our dear Annie's signature. Just a little girl. I'm so glad she made that promise. As one of them said, we figure she's been saved. She was born saved. Oh, the Word of God is so powerful. Would you just lift your hands to heaven? Lord, we just come as your people called by your name. We don't want to be deceived, but we know that the enemy works all the time. Please, Lord, don't let us be taken aside and distracted from your wonderful Word. And Lord, put a hunger in us. Build a fire in us. Put your fresh drawing on our lives. Make us hungry for your Word, Lord, and show us the many wonders of it. Jesus, jump off the pages. Holy Spirit, anoint the Word so that it becomes really life and sticks way down inside. Thank you for the seed of the Word which we have received. Lord, make us truly meek about continually receiving your Word and embracing it, oh God, with the idea of walking in the truth of that Word. And forgive us, Lord, for wherever we failed you or let you down or we have not understood about your Word. But we thank you that in this house, you have given us teachers. And I personally thank you, Lord, that you gave me wonderful mentors that loved your Word and caused me to love your Word. Lord, I'm so thankful for your Word. It's so wonderful. Let it truly live in us, Jesus. We come today and say, please, Lord, by your great grace, overcome all of those things in us that resist your will to make your Word a part of our lives. And thank you, Lord, for the anointed Word that comes forth. Continue, Lord, to let your anointing rest on those that feed us in this house. And we declare it is milk, it is meat. And we declare we esteem your Word above our necessary food. We give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He's a great God. Isn't he a great God?